It's amazing that this is where the rhema at the post really began. It's really it's amazing and fitting. I thought about this morning. It's amazing and fitting how God used a desire for Abraham to have a son to bring Abraham into real faith. And that real faith was constituted as real righteousness as well. And so then it really, really God kind of put like some bait out there for Abraham. And I believe God was baiting us in this part of the series. He was baiting us through the prophecy of the wealth that is to come. He was baiting us, but he was baiting us in a good way. He was baiting us into a place where our desire for salvation would rise. It would begin to rise. And it's in that position where faith is looking to be saved in areas that we're weak in, areas that we just keep dropping the ball, areas that we know we need salvation in. And as faith rises there for salvation, it also positions us for wealth and success, as Kurt was mentioning in the prayer. And it does position us for that. And I believe with all my heart, the next two parts here, they're both part six, but there's two more sections of part six. And both of them, I believe, bait us to really learn life at the post, to learn to want to walk in the temperament of Christ. And so the Lord pointed out to us that being in bi-directional faith is the place of harvest. Now the Lord is going to show, before I even get started, just block everything out, put everybody out the room that you don't think is listening, get away from them, and you dial in today and let this word really, really elevate you to where you belong. And so the Lord did point out to us that being in bi-directional faith is the place of harvest. Now the Lord is going to show us that sowing seed should be with the intent of salvation. This is how God baited us into wanting life at the post. That when we sow with the intent of salvation, what this really means is sowing by giving God his true honor. It's not about the amount of seed you sow. It's about how the seed is sown. We learned a long time ago that we are the ground that determines the harvest return. We are that ground. When we're in position, that's when we reach. When we're in right position, we get some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold returns. Mark 4 teaches that. So in today's message, we are going to get more rhema concerning this and ultimately bring our faith to the precise level for mountains to be removed and in our souls and monetary living. All right? And so this is where we begin. This is how God begins to bait us on wanting to sow from a righteous place or from a place of being in right standing with him. Psalms 51, 16 and 17, it speaks of the preferred offering. It says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise." So now it's not about, yes, we honor God with our tenth and we give God seeds and offerings. We do. But it's not about what we give. It's about how we give. And we've been learning this for a long time, but this has everything to do with God revealing the post to us. It has everything. Because I can fast forward because you already know it. It's already set in your spirit. That post living and living in the temperament of Christ is the absolute perfect position for sowing seed. You can't get in a more better position. You can't become more broken. You can't have more of a broken spirit and a contrite heart than actually getting the exchange done to where you're out of the equation and the temperament of Christ is on you. And so now the word broken, now this is why we get this revelation. The word broken means to burst or to break down or break off into pieces. It also means to bring to the birth, to bring to the birth. When I'm in a broken spirit, I'm brought into the birth. What birth? The new birth, my born again self, Christ ruling me. The word spirit means mind. So now Here's your note. A broken spirit means a mind trained in the new birth. That's what God has been doing with us. Training us how to live by faith is really training us in the new birth, on how to live as a born again and how to walk as a born again. And so when we're coming into that, there is no greater way of walking in the new birth than walking in the mindset of Jesus, than walking in the temperament. A mind that seeks after God and his ways to live as he lives is new birth. Be holy as I am holy type stuff. When this is offered, when truth is accepted in the inner man, every other seed we sow will yield tremendously.
Amen.
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 If we look up in the same chapter in verse 6, it says it like this. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So there's something here that we have to tap into and that we have been tapping into. And it's this post experience that we have been discussing for months. Coming to realize this, that is when I come in and I receive whatever personal things the Lord has to say about me. I am now taking truth into the inward parts. When I let it come into my selfish ways and into the way I live and into the way I move, the way I do things, I'm now taking truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts. He's making me to know wisdom. There are areas about my life that only God knows about and I know about that God has to change. Those hidden parts. And when we come to getting into the post area, which we're going to get into the revelation of it in just a moment. When we come into that, this is when we are touching, my God, the perfect positioning to release seed and to sow. Because what you're really giving God is you're offering up your broken spirit. You're giving God that when you start to move in the new birth, now you're in position. Everything around you is screaming harvest. Everything. Everything you're doing, business should harvest. Your job should be harvest. Your family, harvest. Health, harvest. Everything screams harvest when we're getting to the place of exchanging our temperament, our ways, and putting on his ways. Everything is everything. He, man, this is where you meet the God of all increase. This is where. And God baited us early in this series. He baited us in this place of wanting this at the post, because it really dialed into how to really live life and life more abundantly. It really showed us. It opened our eyes. My God, I'm not going to overstep salvation and walk in success. Now my mind has come down to the truth. And our minds are being calibrated even today to the fact that if I look for salvation at the post, I have every right to increase in every area of my life. Psalms 51, 7 through 12, it says, this should be the sound of someone that has a broken spirit. This should be the search that you should have coming off your lips when you're reaching him at the post. There should be a desire for you to come up and come out and to come in to holier areas of Christ and better ways and more better morale and all this. Everything, man, is just seeking holiness.
Hallelujah. The
writer said it like this. He said, purge me. Man, if you get this revelation, you become virtually unstoppable. You're aiming for the right thing in faith and by faith. You're aiming for salvation. So the cry out of your mouth should sound something like this. Might not be verbatim, but it should sound something. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Even my sufferings, the writer saying here. Make me to hear, even in the midst of my sufferings, let me hear nothing but joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. In other words, my issues will begin to rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. The writer said something I love here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12 is our key. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is the sound that should be coming out of someone that has a revelation of what the post experience is really like, of what it's meant to be. This is the sound of somebody that's coming into the realm of authentic faith. You're not just looking for the glit and the glam. You're not just looking for the bling, but now you're looking for the joy of his salvation returning unto you. The joy of living a spot-free, a clean life, a holy life before God. This is the sound of someone that's living in authentic faith. So when your faith is bi-directional, looking for salvation and success, this is what you sound like. Your plea unto the Father is a plea to be right with him. It's a plea to be in militant step, following perfectly behind the spirit of promise and truth. That's your plea. And that's what takes place with as you're going to the post. And as we're coming to this place, and God still has not revealed the post, but my goodness, look at the breadcrumbs that he's putting out there still. At this point, he has not even mentioned post in the series. When faith isn't bi-directional, your harvest cannot enter. The word faith means, we learned, the truthfulness of God. All right? In the definition of faith, it points us to salvation itself. It reveals the real meaning to walk in truth is to walk in faith. That's what it reveals. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now watch this here. When your faith isn't bi-directional and you're not looking for salvation, I tell you, this is always happening here in verse Isaiah 59, 14. It says, and judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. When the truthfulness of God, when truth has fallen pertaining to how you are, and there is no consciousness to things that you're doing wrong, there's no consciousness to needing salvation. And you're pretty much seared like a hot iron. You're just going about doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, however you want to do it, maybe whoever you want to do it with, whatever the case may be. When truth is fallen, watch, your justice is standing far from you. When truth is fallen, equity cannot enter. How in the world are you going to increase? Because now truth, fallen truth, is not one that's living in a bi-directional faith manner. You're not living in a bi-directional way. You're looking for God to be your God, to bring you out of trouble and bring success and wealth, if he will. But when you're not looking for truth to have its way in your inward parts, to deal with you right where you live, justice is standing far away. That's your breakthrough. And equity, which means wealth or becoming more prosperous, cannot enter. But my goodness, when I come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, when I come to him with the knowledge of the fact that he can exchange my temperament for his, justice is right next to me. Equity can enter at any time. I'm in position for life and life more abundantly. And so are you. The word fallen, this is what happens to truth. It becomes weak. It becomes weak. You ever hear somebody tell you the truth about something, but it has no power to it, not because of what they're saying, but because how far off you are? They can tell you something that you ought to be doing, but it doesn't carry any weight. That means truth has fallen. They can tell you it's wrong to do this or do that. They can tell you it's wrong to fornicate. They can tell you it's wrong to be lying or stealing. They can tell you it's wrong, but because it's fallen, it's weak. It's actually, in essence, been overthrown by your lifestyle and by how you want to live. And yet you still want God to bless you. You still want justice when you need it. No, it's far off. Equity can't find you. It cannot enter. Why? You're not in position. That's why God is leading us to the post-rhema, the post-revelation. So we can always stand next to justice. And we can always move in equity. God was baiting us on how to get to life and life more abundantly when he was teaching us this. So the note is there are areas in our lives that we have caused truth to be weakened or to be overthrown. This is why the Lord is awakening the bidirectional faith in us. This is a note from back then. Faith that is truly looking for Jehovah to be salvation again. God said this back then, and he says it again today. Repentance is being granted unto the house of TGM, and equity, which means uprightness and balance, ownership, rights, and proprietorship, and right of possessions, will enter again. We will see the fullness of kingdom come in our lives. That was a revelation and a prophecy then, and God says to you, it's a prophecy now, that as we stop allowing truth to fall because of our post experiences, hearing Christ about us, letting him purge us, letting him move, let the Father cut away the branches and things off the branches that are stopping the harvest of fruit. This is going to cause equity to enter again, bring us back into balance, take us into ownership, proprietorship, and right of possessions. God is bringing us here. Somebody say hallelujah if you hear what I'm saying.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We will, God said, we will see the fullness of kingdom come in our lives. Yes, but my God, truth has to be strengthened again. Truth has to be strengthened. You have to start. I'm telling you, some of us have to start over at the post, letting him, my goodness, look inwardly to you. And let him reveal areas that are wrong. They're wrongful living. They're not right. And we have to allow Christ, not you, not by what you feel, not by what you think, but allow him to reveal. Because if he reveals, he's also going to heal. He's healed. Healing will yield to heal, I guarantee you. But you got to let him reveal these things to you. You got to open up to him at the post. You got to open up. And when he starts to reveal to you by way of this rhema that you're under, and he starts to make it personal, that's when you go to the Father, who is the husbandman, who will now prune away these things. And equity will be able to enter again. The key is hearing within the hearing, guys. That means that, all right, right now we're in a general rhema word. We're in a general place of the rhema, which is wonderful. But this general place of rhema will become personal. And this is the cry for that personal time that the Holy Spirit is crying within you so that the Lord can reveal to the Holy Spirit, who will reveal to you the personal things going on. And this is what he desires to do. In Proverbs 8, and this starts taking us creeping up to the revelation of the post here. In Proverbs 8, 1 through 14, it says this: does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. And here's who the Holy Spirit is crying to. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple. That means you guys where truth has fallen. O ye simple. Understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, that's our key, man. It's been our key for years. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Oh, there it is. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. And that's what God has brought us into. He's brought us into the knowledge of the end of our faith. He's brought us into the knowledge of the salvation of our souls. So now the words, because he's brought us here, the words will become plain. It won't be difficult to receive on a personal level the corrections and the chastisements, the instructions that God wants to give us, so that our faith now is moving towards salvation. It's positioning us for absolute harvest and increase. Receive, verse 10 says, receive my instruction and not silver. Bump the success for now. Get the knowledge rather than choice gold. Get into this. Stop being a unidirectional faith guy or girl. Stop moving like that. Forget about silver and forget about choice gold for now. Hear my instruction. He says in verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I'll get you to your substance. First things first. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Oh, here it is. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. God revealed that this was the seven spirits of God speaking, not just wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, this is the fullness of the Holy Spirit crying out, letting us know what he is going to do for us. He's going to bring us out of all those areas that are not right, that are not right with God. He's going to exchange the desire for success and cause the desire for salvation to rise above it. He's going to bring us into balance. And then later on in the chapter, we're going to discover that when he brings us into balance, what comes with him? Riches and honor. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Success comes with this. But this is where it starts right here. That the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. So now we've come to realize this is the seven spirits of God and that's being referenced in this chapter. Then in Proverbs 8:32, so that he's creating an understanding that there's a hearing within the hearing. The rhema word will get me there. In Proverbs 8:32, 36 through 36, it tells us where we're going. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Oh, God, yeah. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That speaks volumes to me. Uh-huh. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth. To sin against the understanding of the post experience, you're wronging yourself. You're wronging yourself to try to exclude salvation from this package here. You're wronging yourself. He said to receive instruction rather than silver, rather than choice gold. Instruction means chastisement. It means reproof, restraint. It means correction. Man, get the correction you need in your life. You want success, then get the correction. Let him put the discipline back in you through the revelation that he gives you, your personal revelation of areas that God will tell you, that the Lord will tell you, let's work on this. I'm going to work on that for you. And only thing you do at the post is say amen. If you got pride, you got arrogance, you got lust, you got issues, whatever. It doesn't matter what your problem might be. Let him correct it. Let him show you. Let him reprove it. It positions you. And this is the stuff that the Bible talks about, of the Lord making you rich with no sorrow. You won't ever have to look over your shoulder and you'll be wealthy because of it. You won't have to look over your shoulder and you're going to be wealthy because you're receiving instruction. You're letting him become personal. This is what our faith was supposed to do from the beginning. But the church started teaching success and money, and we lost track of what faith was really supposed to do. We were always supposed to come to the end of ourselves.
Yes, 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 yes.
Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I, but Christ living on the inside of me. That was always the first part of the plan. But how we got twisted in a prosperity message. And that's why prosperity or equity hasn't been able to enter, because we've had it backwards. But God is saying, not anymore, TGM. I'm giving you total repentance. I'm bringing you into a place where bi-directional faith can flow. So there's a hearing within the hearing that we have to have. We're in the general rhema word, but this rhema word now should be looking at every one of you listening that are under the sound of my voice. It should be looking inwardly at you, revealing to you something that God wants to take from you and out of you. And as you just say amen to that, his temperament settles in on you. And now guess what? You're in position with a broken spirit, a contrite heart, to sow seed. And every other seed you sow, and because you've already sown your broken spirit, you've already said amen and got a contrite heart, you're open and receiving the way that you should. So now all of your seeds sown move in a tremendous harvest and increase. You move into a tremendous harvest and increase. So this is the hearing within the hearing. This is faith that points us unto salvation. As we've been learning, when we are in the rhema word, there is another word within the word that will touch us on a personal level. It's the word within the words that takes our faith from unidirectional to bidirectional. The Holy Spirit of promise tells us in Proverbs 8 that whosoever finds him will find life and obtains favor of the Lord. Hearing within the hearing brings harvest. No more allowing truth to fall in the streets. And I'm going to keep plowing for a minute. It picks up here in this next segment. It picks up right here. Proverbs 8. This is when God really opens the post to us right here. And I wanted to reach this today. And I'm about to cross over into it now. And then we're going to go hyperspace in the rest of the balance. Proverbs 8, 32 through 36 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. I feel the Spirit of God. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Again, instruction is the reproof and restraint, and restraint is a good word, correction and discipline. So the hearing within the hearing we've learned, but the word post, when we're at the post of his doors, listen, this is where God reveals. Now, he's trying to bring us into a balance of being able to live in this wonderful realm of faith that he's revealing. And so God now really narrows it. He says, okay, this is how you remain. If you'll come to the post of my door, if you watch for me daily, and remember, the post of any doors in the natural for you builders, guys like Ron that do construction and stuff, the word post means doorpost. And doorposts are what provide stability for the door on either side. Listen, it provides stability for the door on either side of a door. So what's holding the door there are the post, or what we call today the frame. It's the frame. It also, because it's framed, it provides entry. It provides entry into. Now, what the post of God's door are, is in the Hebrew word, it means moving creatures. So now the Lord is showing us that if we come in through the only moving creatures mentioned in the Bible are those four: man, ox, eagle, lion, which make up the temperament of Jesus. The temperament of Jesus are how we get entry. This brings us in. So now if I'm at the post of his doors waiting there daily, I'm waiting for the exchange of his temperament daily, which we all know. Everybody that's on the line that's of this ministry knows what I'm saying. So now you understand that the post only means to us the temperament of God. That when I come out of myself, no matter what, and we've learned just the other day that even sufferings are meant to get me into the temperament. There's really not a weapon formed against me that can prosper. Everything's going to end up in the temperament of my God if I do it right. Everything, no matter what temptation is holding or coming on me, everything will be used in my favor to keep me in authentic faith. The post, the temperament, gives me my entry. One of those postures, man. Posture of man, we know, is the weakness, and I just laid weak before God. That's not a lack of faith. Laying weak before God is great faith. When I'm in the ox mode and I'm just enduring in the things and I have a spirit of endurance on me that I keep moving. We all heard this before, but hear it again. Hear it again. My God, hear it again. If I've got that endurance on me, I'm still in faith. Faith doesn't mean you already broke through. That's what we make the mistake. We think that faith automatically means we got the miracle, we got the breakthrough. No, 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 no. It will come to that, but these are paths or postures of faith. My weakness, my endurance. And then sometimes I'm so on it, I have great vision. I'm seeing like the eagle and I'm tearing up my enemies because I have great vision and I'm ripping to shreds everything that the enemy tries to show me that's negative or opposite of what God is saying. That's another part of the temperament. And then lion. I have this holy, destructive, intense, flesh-ripping, flesh-eating anointing on me that is just tearing things down. These are all, they all make up the character or the personality of Christ. And that being in one of them gets me in the door. It provides entry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm gonna fast forward a little bit to John chapter 10, and I'm going to just show you like Jesus said it here. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. It says, Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Look at salvation. Woo, right there. You got salvation right there. And then it says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. First, I see salvation by coming in the door through the temperament of Jesus, through Jesus, same thing. I get saved and find pasture. The word pasture is speaking, but nothing but wealth. I'll tell you what it means in just a moment. So I got salvation there and pasture down there. The thief cometh not but for to steal. He's been stealing salvation and to kill and destroy. He's been destroying pasture. He has been killing the life and the spirit. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, comma, and that they might have it more abundantly. The word pasture means feeding. Figuratively, it means spreading of a gangrene. So this prosperity wants to spread. It means, or the food. It also means in the Greek, he shall not want the needful supplies for true life. First, you got salvation and success. It means growth and increase. He shall be saved, comma, and find pasture. This is because of the revelation of authentic faith, which we have now reduced down to this, being in the temperament of our God, being in the temperament of the Lord, constitutes authentic faith. Everything I do from here is blessed. I really now have the Midas touch. Everything I do turns to gold. Everything I do will increase. My health will increase. My wealth will increase. Everything about my life has nothing on it. I only sit and fellowship with the God of increase. It is his good pleasure to give me his kingdom here, because I'm in a place of authentic faith and he hears authentic faith. When your mindset has been wiped away and you're totally in the temperament of Christ, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your success, you're still in the temperament. Nothing's moving you because you watch daily. You're there daily, waiting daily at the post of his doors, waiting for the exchange. Paul said it like this: I die daily. I make an exchange daily. I come out of self daily. I step into authentic faith daily. Oh God, yeah. This is the place of life and life more abundantly. This is that place. So here's a new note. This is what happens when we sow from the post, from the temperament. We enter in and find pasture. It's due to the fact that our faith is reaching for salvation. When we wait on his temperament at his post, this causes an explosion of kingdom in and on our lives. The old note says here, you see, when the right posture is added to the discernment of the spirit, we find entry. When we find entry, the thief can't come, steal, kill, and destroy no more. We end up in the bidirectional blessing of salvation and success. The weight is everything. I say that again, the weight is everything. You can get to the gate, but are you willing to lean on the post until hearing within the hearing fully manifests? Until he brings true salvation through the temperament of Christ our Lord. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait? Don't let what you desire break the weight. Don't let temptation break the weight. Wait in the midst of it. Take the temptation, take the suffering, and let it be what propels you and gets you there even faster.
Amen, amen.
But don't let what's bothering you break the weight. Just wait. And when the exchange takes place, you found pasture. You found it. You found the delivering power of our Father, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got what you need. Last note of the day, the Lord brought us to the revelation of the post, not just to harvest both salvation and success, but guys, he brought us here so that we, the just, would now live by faith. The authentic faith life has now begun, really has. It really has. We've entered in. We're here, praise God. We are absolutely here. We're here. We're right where we belong. Spirit of God told me about six or seven years ago, he said, Todd, I'm going to give you 8 years to get my people where they belong. I was like, oh my gosh. Jeez. I don't know if I can do that. I know I can. I'm going to need you to. And all the while I'm thinking that he wants us in a beautiful edifice, and, you know, and having great services and praise and worship team, everything together, everything's doing good as a church. He didn't mean none of that. He meant the post.
Hallelujah.
And when we got here, he said, you did it. He said, you got them where I needed them to be.
Hallelujah.
I said, amen.
Amen.
I said, amen, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ah, yes. We're here, guys. I'm telling you right now. Only thing we can do now is experience kingdom living.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
At its absolute finest, lift your hands to him.
Hallelujah.
If you were strengthened by the message, surrender to the message you were strengthened by. If you were strengthened by the truth, lift your hands to it and just go ahead and surrender to it. If there are areas that you know the Holy Spirit has to reveal to you that about you that you aren't really chalking up and you're not taking inventory about it, start right now and don't let truth fall to the streets anymore concerning you. Just receive. Let truth be strengthened. It's all right that you have areas that are mistakes. Again, I say it's okay, my goodness, but don't lay there in them. Don't let your suffering be in vain. Take it. Use it. He's revealed the place of his glory to us. The place where his opinion and point of view rules and reigns. And causes perfection to come forward in you. He said again, I've come to give you life, all of you. I've come to give all of you life and life more abundantly. That's why I'm here. Will you take it? That's why I'm here. That's why I've opened up the understanding of my post, my moving creatures. I've opened it up to you. My temperament. Oh, there's an anointing in the posture of man that's on the line right now. I also feel the posture of ox on the line right now. Being honest with you, Elder Allison, I feel the posture of ox on you right now. There's an endurance on you right now. Praise God. You can press. You can push. Oh, there's an anointing there for you, Elder Allison. Yeah, in the ox. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you're pressing right now, you're also birthing. You're also you're birthing right now. Also, the stability of the fellowship with Alpha and Omega. Yeah, I know it's strange language for some of you, but you're birthing the stability of fellowship right now, Elder Allison, as you're pressing. The stability of Alpha and Omega fellowship is being, you're birthing it. Mm-hmm. And I hear, no man shall take it from you, the Alpha and Omega fellowship. No man will take it from you. My God. Yeah. It won't slip away. It's on there. It's staying there, never to be removed. Never to be removed again. My God. Ooh, Jesus. My goodness. Yes. An everlasting fellowship with Alpha and Omega. My goodness. With clarity of mind, with clarity of understanding, with the knowledge of what you're doing. He's establishing it in the knowledge, with an awareness.
Hallelujah.
My God. He said, it's a permanent awareness that's going to stay right there.
Yes.
Somebody else snatched that word for themselves. Well, the Lord said, keep it. You can have it. You can have it. My goodness, you can have it. You took it, but yeah, you can have it. It's like the lady that touched the hem of his garment. Yeah, she took it. And God said, if you took that word, it's yours.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Yes, my goodness, yes. Yes, Lord. Yeah, a permanent awareness of authentic faith. Curtis had prayed for that the awareness or the authentic faith. And God says he's giving a permanent awareness of functioning in authentic faith. Some of you will back up because you'll start in the old, but you'll back up and come in the right, the straight gate. You'll come in and you'll walk the narrow way. Yeah, you'll start in the old, but then you'll be reminded, woo, glory be to God. You'll be reminded of the authenticity of faith in which you've been taught. You won't make the mistakes. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. You won't suffer in vain. My goodness. You're going to use the tools. The Spirit of God says you're going to use, my God, you're going to use the tools which he's given in the rhema word. And you're going to find salvation and success. Harvest time. You live in Kairos now. Due season 24/7 is where God has placed you. My goodness. Never to be removed and never to be moved again.
Hallelujah.
My God, your feet are planted by the rivers of waters. And I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit of God, you will not be moved. The Holy Spirit will bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever things he has said.
Hallelujah.
You won't be a forgetful hearer, but you'll be a remaining doer. Oh, glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. And from here, I add this to you. You can prophesy. You can prophesy freely from here. Yeah, because you recognize my temperament. Yes, and you can prophesy freely, 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 freely. Curtis, the spirit of prophecy is all over you. It's all over you. You have such an anointing on you right now, Kurt, that you can begin to reshape some things. You can begin to do that, and it will take shape. I mean, immediately. My goodness. You can do that right now. You can do it right now. That he said that's lying on you. He's on you. And you had sight as the eagle, which first that started there. And then he transitioned you into this lion with this roar that you have right this very moment. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And some things that haven't been finished are about to be finished. Curtis, some things that hadn't been done. Go ahead and speak into the winds. Mm-hmm. Speak into the four directional. Speak into them, Kurt, and watch. Watch me move. Watch me move. I'm going to track down. I'm going to pounce. And then I'm going to devour every enemy in front of you. I'm going to track them down. I'm going to pounce. And then I'm going to devour every enemy, every stagnant thing. Glory be to God. Yeah. Woo, Jesus. Yeah, the Lord is strengthening right now. There's such a strength going on. There's a transition. People are moving from man to ox. Even I'm talking right this very moment. And some of you that were in ox are starting to, yeah, Ella Allison, you're moving into eagle. And now you're starting to see the stability. Woo, glory be to God. You're actually, you're seeing the word. Amen, Jesus, amen. Amen, 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 Lord, amen. 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 Oh, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. We got some comments here that I'll read here. Oh, yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Allison says amen. Curtis says amen. Elder Donna says hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. And then Javon says amen to authentic faith. Yes. Kurt says, seal us in authentic faith life. Seal us in the authentic faith life. Amen. Amen. Elder Donna says, amen and amen. Elder Allison says, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I believe that's the time of the prophecy And Javon says, the king is here. You better believe it. Glory to the Almighty, Alpha and Omega forever. Hallelujah. You better believe it. He is. He's here right now. He's here right now, solidifying this. I'm telling you, my God, I almost feel like it's the end of the balance, because God is, I'm talking about, he is searing this on our hearts. He is putting this, that it's never going to be removed. It's going to stick just like Mark 4 did. Praise be to God. Kurt says, amen. Erica says, yes, you can. You can. Ask if I could do the announcements. Yeah, of course, you can, Elder Allison. You can do the announcements. Amen. And Erica, whenever you're ready, you can also bring, if you're still on the line, what God, your wow moment, whenever you're ready. Sometime this week or whenever, just let me know. But praise be to God. Praise be to God, everybody. There is, I mean, this.